On the next Transformed, a family almost torn apart by differences in faith finds unity in music and Bible study. Plus, a young man struggling with pornography finds redemption in Christ. That's on the next Transformed. Welcome to Transformed, a program where we share testimonies of God's amazing love and transforming power. It was not a habit Kyle ever imagined to be his struggle, yet he found himself wandering further down the dark hole of pornography. His transformation is ahead on today's program. Now to Glennie's story. She shares how her mom's desire for truth influenced her faith walk, ultimately leading her to Hope Channel and a deeper desire for God's Word.
And just giving a background of my family, my dad's side of the family, they're all Catholic. My mom's side of the family, they're all still Baptist. And just before my parents got married, they both came together into the Baptist faith. And we lived our lives in Kuwait pretty involved in all of the church activities. I remember as a kid, we would go and do VBS, learn lots of Bible stories, do a lot of things. We were pretty active in church. But ever since the beginning, I always saw that my mom noticed that there's something more. There's something that we just didn't know about and something that was missing. And she would share these stories of whenever she was a child, she would come up with these questions to the elders of the church and say, "Hey, pastor, can you explain this one? How can I learn more about this topic?" And the pastors would always shut her down and say, "Hey, why? Who are you to ask these questions? You're a woman, first of all, and your whole heritage has been Baptists. You shouldn't be questioning." So because of that, she never really asked questions. She just complied to all of it. But we noticed and we saw that she always had this urge and desire to know something more. But you know, as kids, my sister and I and my dad, we were happy with life. Everything seems okay. We were satisfied with the bare minimum of Christianity. And eventually, little by little, my mother started listening to other messages, started listening to different speakers like David Ashrick, Doug Batchelor, and Hope Channel, and all of these messages, and started writing down notes one by one. And we thought she was crazy because she had a lot, like a bunch of notes beside her table. And we were just like, okay, what is she? You see someone watching TV and writing notes. That's not something you see most of the time. Usually you have a bag of popcorn or something, not a bunch of books. But my mom was persistent. And then eventually She tried to introduce us to these things she was learning, but we would try to push it away because my dad was happy with our condition in the church. And we, like I said before, we were satisfied with the bare minimum until something happened that shook our family. I mean, I wish I could go into the details, but just a gist of what had happened was there was something that happened that really brought in tension between my dad and my mom. Mm. And I think I was just 7 or 8, but I remember it really, as a child, it really affects you seeing this happen. And you just pinch yourself and ask God, maybe this isn't happening. Maybe this is just a dream. Daddy and mommy are supposed to love each other. Now, they're not supposed to be fighting like this. And it got so bad, my mom was about to leave the home. And I remember my dad begging her, "Please, can you stay back? And can you please stay back?" And just imagine an 8-year-old or my sister, who's 2 years younger than me, watching all of this and being so confused with life, so confused with the image of God, and so confused with what an ideal family is supposed to look like. And looking back, it leaves lifelong scars. And we all have scars from the imperfection that sin brings from the time we are born. But that situation, the thing about God is that God uses broken situations to show who he really is. There's a song which says, "In brokenness you shine." And this story is an example of how God actually did that through the tension of within my parents' marriage, which eventually led to my dad getting really sick. He started having this asthma attacks so often, so bad that my mom had to bring two oxygen cylinders next to his bed, because by the time we reached the hospital, we could have lost him. So all of this was happening, and I remember my mom wanted to leave, but because of seeing my dad get really sick, she decided to stay back, and she decided to take care of him despite the pain she was going through. And I think that was the first time I really saw Jesus, Jesus in the family. Like, despite the pain she was going through, she decided to be there. And I remember her, I mean, these are very intimate details, just her taking him to the bathroom and giving him a shower. And I'm just like watching that and being like, wow, this is beautiful. What kind of love is this? And eventually I remember he was on the bed and all of us are just wondering where is life going to take us? It seems like the end of the world. And that's when my mom came up with the idea that changed our entire course of life. She said, "What if we start studying the Bible together?" And we were like, "Okay, sure, we can do that." So I remember the bed is here, my dad's lying down, and the three of us, my little sister and my mom, three of us, we decided to get we didn't even have a real, I don't think we used a real Bible, but like a Bible storybook, and we started reading. And after we read, we prayed. And that was the journey of us starting this, I don't know, this domino effect of you know, this devotional worship time that was just 15 minutes turned into an hour, turned into 2 hours, turned into 4 hours of discussion and being like, what does the Bible say? And yeah, that's how the journey began.
Glennie, as I hear the way that the Word of God was transforming your family, now I understand why you're so passionate about the Bible yourself. And you compose scripture songs, you like to sing. Tell us about one we're going to hear in just a minute. No condemnation, taken from the book of Romans. What impressed you so much about that Bible promise that you just wanted to share it in a beautiful song?
Well, really, the reason why my friend and I, Christian Paul, he's also a violinist and a composer, the reason why we decided to make the song was actually the school I'm attending is a missionary training school in Virginia. Every month, the whole school would try to memorize the scripture. And then I thought to myself, you know what, instead of trying to just cram in scripture, instead of being like, okay, in the beginning, God created the heaven and earth, blah, 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 all of that, which is important, why don't we put melodies into the song and then have scripture as an active, breathing part of our daily lives? So that's when we did three or four other songs before that. But we were doing songs on the book of Romans, of understanding the gospel through the book of Romans. And this song in particular, about there is now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. It's so amazing that we live our lives tied down to our past. We live our lives being held down by the lies that the enemy tells us, that you're not good enough. You know, look at what your parents did, or look at the mess you're in. But the thing about Jesus is, like I had mentioned before, he shines through brokenness. And he's like Glennie or Pastor Morris or anyone, just give me the pain you have. And I'm going to make sure that you use that as a weapon against the enemy. You use that as the weapon to tell the world of what I am doing through you. So I think that's such a great reminder that there's now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, that we have to hold on to Jesus and remember that he has a plan for us, and to keep away the lies that the enemy tries to make us believe. So that is one of the songs we worked on.
There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Jesus Christ. There is therefore now no condemnation
My name is Kyle. I had an addiction to pornography starting at the age of around 10 or 12, and it continued for years, and I didn't gain victory, full victory, until the summer of 2020 during COVID. Around 10, 12, I started to develop hormones, of course, and you're trying to figure out what to do with them. And the only way that I could personally deal with that was through pornography. And it just was something that I just kept doing. And it was the only way for me to release my hormones and how I felt. And as I got older, it was a way to reduce stress. It was the way to get rid of my anger. It was the way to feel better from the pain I was dealing with things I had dealt with growing up. And it was my only way of coping. And it just kept getting worse and worse. I felt like I was viewing women in a way that I shouldn't. I was having lustful thoughts, which I shouldn't have been having. And it just became an addiction. And I didn't want to admit that. And I knew I needed change around, I think, 16, 17. I realized it was a problem. I need to stop. And I just kept saying, oh, I'm going to stop soon. I'm going to stop soon. I'm going to stop soon. But it never got to that. And a lot of factors played into how deep I was getting into it. And it wasn't until a lot of traumatic things started happening around COVID when it started in the pandemic. And I actually had COVID in August. So being stuck in a room, I felt like it was one of like the Paul experiences in the Bible, turning to Saul, where he had been persecuting the Christians. and he had gone to Damascus and God blinded him and had him in a room by himself. And in this position, I felt like that was me. I was in a room by myself. I was stuck. I had no one to talk to. It was just me. And at first I did struggle for a while being in the room. And then one day I was talking to my good friend, my father, and they were both explaining to me how the actions I had been doing over the past few years, even though they weren't specifically talking about pornography, some actions that I had made in the past weren't good choices. And I realized that the core root of that was pornography. And I broke down in tears. I was crying for like 2 hours, realizing the road that I had gone down because of my addiction. And I felt sick. And I was like, God, I don't want to do this anymore. And it honestly just took, I felt a voice in my head. I truly believe it was the Holy Spirit who said, your sins are forgiven. Go in peace and sin no more. Just like God had told the woman when she had committed adultery. And ever since then, I haven't looked back. And I realized that's not the road I wanted to go down. This isn't the life I wanted to live. This isn't who I was or who I wanted to be. So I decided, with God's help, I'm not going to do this anymore. And it wasn't easy, but I had accountability partners. I found better ways to cope with my stress, with my anger, with my frustrations, with my sadness, with grief. But pornography wasn't the way for me to turn and look. When I would watch porn, it was the feeling that I felt after that was sick. Like the feeling in the second you're doing it, it feels great. But like afterwards you felt horrible, you know, and that wasn't worth it for me. I encourage people, whether it be male or female, because both genders deal with it, no matter where you are in your life, I encourage you to, I'm not gonna say like, oh, just stop, don't look at it, because it's not that easy. I'm not gonna lie, sin is fun. If sin was not fun, we wouldn't be tempted to do it. But it's the long-term effects and how much we love God that really makes a difference. Steps to overcome pornography is one, first, admit it. We don't like to admit that that's a problem, but it is. We have to admit this to ourselves that we're struggling and we need help. Second thing I do say is to pray, to talk to God and be real with him. Hey, God, I don't want to give this up, but I know I need to. I need help overcoming this. Please help me. We can't sit here and lie to God and be like, okay, this is something that it sucks. I hate doing it. It feels horrible. Help me. Like, no, be real with him. Be like, hey, this is something I don't want to give up. It's frustrating. It's hard, but I enjoy this. So please take this desire away. The third thing I'd say, something that helped me was get accountability partner. Have someone keep you accountable. For me personally, it was, if I messed up, I had to cash out someone $5. And that person back then probably had a lot of money, but it was something that I need to do to push myself to just overcome it. And the last thing I say is, how bad do you want it? That's really what it is. How bad do you want it? How bad do you want to be pure? Because no matter how you may think, it's going to affect your life. You know, what happens as you get older? What happens when you don't have porn to look at to satisfy your sexual desire? You know, who knows where that's going to go from there? You might do something dangerous. You know, you never want to hurt anyone. You end up hurting yourself. So it's going to mess up your marriage. It gives you unrealistic expectations. It messes up you even getting into a relationship in general. You start looking at the wrong things. So when we start to see the effects and how and different ways it affects your life, sexually, the way you look at people, it gives us more of a motivation to not want to continue in this addiction.
What a courageous story to share. Perhaps you've made bad choices and now find yourself far down a path of negative consequences, hurting yourself and others. If you're truly ready to change, God will help you. Call out to him right now. Confess your sins with a determination to leave those bad habits, irresponsible choices, and a mindset of disobedience behind you. This transformation is only possible through the power of Christ, who is faithful and just to forgive your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Let me pray for you right now. Our Father in heaven, we know that we have all sinned and fallen short of your glory. We know that sin brings death, but I just want to thank you that you offered to forgive our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, to give us a brand new start, to transform our lives. We give our life to you just now and pray that you would do whatever you know we need to draw closer to you and to save us in your eternal kingdom. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Now to Pastor Chris Holland with a history lesson about freedom.
On March the 23rd, 1775, at the St. John's Church in Richmond, Virginia, the Second Virginia Convention took place. The meeting was to assure the Virginia troops would take part in the Revolutionary War. A man came to the podium and spoke. A Baptist minister who was watching the proceedings would later describe him as having an unearthly fire burning in his eye. The man said these words, "I have but one lamp by which my feet are guided, and that is the lamp of experience. I know of no way of judging of the future but by the past. And judging by the past, I wish to know what there has been in the conduct of the British ministry for the last 10 years to justify these hopes with which gentlemen have been pleased to solace themselves and the House. Are fleets and armies necessary to a work of love and reconciliation? Have we shown ourselves so unwilling to be reconciled that force must be called in to win back our love? Has Great Britain any enemy in this quarter of the world to call for all this accumulation of navies and armies? No, sir, she has none. They are meant for us. They can be meant for no other. Our petitions have been slighted. Our remonstrances have produced additional violence and insult. Our supplications have been disregarded, and we have been spurned with contempt from the foot of the throne. We must fight. I repeat it, sir, we must fight. An appeal to arms and to the God of hosts is all that is left us. The walls of the building and all within them, the war is actually begun. The next gale that sweeps from the north will bring to our ears the clash of resounding arms. Our brethren are already in the field. Why stand we here idle? What does that gentleman wish? What would they have? Is life so dear or peace so sweet as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery?" And as Patrick Henry spoke, he held his wrists together as though they were manacled and raised them toward the heavens. "Forbid it, Almighty God. I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty." And Henry burst from his imaginary chains and grasped an ivory letter opener, "Or give me death." This victory cry has been utilized by other countries throughout the world and in other contexts, but it's formed the basis of the freedoms of the United States: life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. In fact, those three are, according to the Declaration of Independence, unalienable rights endowed by the Creator. You know, friends, the Bible says in Romans 6:23 that the wages of sin are death. Romans 3:23 says, "All have sinned," and that is bad news. But the good news is that Romans 6:23 ends with the words, "But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." Transformation. Jesus takes us from certain death and transforms that into life. Life eternal. Friend, do you want to experience that life today? Do you want to experience the freedom of eternal life? I do hope you do. Let's pray together and ask God to give us that transformation of life eternal. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that we can experience the transformation of eternal life. May we encounter the living Christ today. May he give us liberty, freedom in the transformation that we experience. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
In today's program, Glennie shared how Bible study transformed her family's bare minimum of Christianity into a deeper faith walk with God. Thank you, Glennie, for sharing your scripture song from Romans chapter 8, which reminds us, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. What an amazing promise! Have you felt God's transforming power in your life? Has God used Hope Channel to be part of that transformation? Share your story with us at hopetv.org/transformed. We look forward to hearing your testimony. And remember, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. Anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. Until next time, may God's mercy and His grace transform your life.